What's up, guys? My name's Andres. This is the Strong Family Money Show. Thanks for coming back. On the Strong Family Money Show, we help dads improve their fitness, their finances, and their families. Let's dive right in. Please visit our sponsor, FreshCoffee805.com. Without them, we couldn't make these episodes. Roasting and delivering freshly roasted fair trade organic coffee to your door. If you live here in Ventura County, you'll get it within days of roasting. FreshCoffee805.com. Without them, we couldn't bring these shows to you. So I'm a real estate agent here in Ventura County. And in general, I'm really interested in real estate investing, what happens, how to do it, all that stuff. I've been going over in the previous episodes a lot of tips to get you going in your own real estate investing journey. But where do you find all this stuff? So I have, you know, something written down here on my phone, a few places where you can find deals and how to, you know, so either they're like there, you know, a place where they're all there, or things you can do to find real estate deals in general. So if you have a real estate friend, right, you can ask them to set you up with criteria in the MLS, right? So just like you're buying your own home, you say, you know, you give them where you want it, you know, how much it should cost, how, you know, how many days on the market it's been on there. So you have your own list of criteria, and they can set you up with email links or they got like a little list of every day or every week on properties that are on the MLS. Places like Redfin and Realtor.com, it's basically the MLS. But if you can have someone to do all the searching for you, that's probably better. But you can, you know, find hidden gems on the MLS. You know, they've been on there for a long time. There's something nobody really wants to buy on the, you know, open market, right? You can say, yeah, your house looks a little outdated. I understand people don't want to buy it for, you know, as their home because they don't want to have to fix it up. But I'm an investor. I can fix it up and, you know, I can do that for you at a discount because I want to make some money, but that's just the whole MLS. You can find stuff on the MLS. So you can look in the newspaper. There are a lot of FSBOs out there. You know, people don't want to use a real estate agent. Pros and cons, mostly cons for not using a real estate agent. But if you look in the paper, you know, online postings, right? You can also use, like, you know, Craigslist. People put their properties on there. You can look for sale by owner and negotiate a price with the owner. Not only can you find, you know, for sale by owners, a good tip to use is to look for people that are renting, and that could, and that's like and it falls in the outbound marketing, you know, section. But if you see other investors on there, or, you know, they're an investor because they're looking for a renter, you know, you can reach out to them and say, hey, how's it going? How's your property? Sometimes you luck out and you'll find an investor, a landlord that's totally tired of being a landlord. They've done it for a long time. They're ready to, you know, sell the home, get their profit out of it. You know, some people, it's just not for them. And you may get lucky by reaching out to someone who's looking for a renter. You know that they're an investor. You reach out to them, and you might get lucky to find something. So word of mouth, it's important that you let everybody know that you're looking for properties, because you never know what's going to happen, who you're going to run into. They may know somebody. You may find someone randomly at some place you never thought you'd be talking about, you know, real estate investing. You might find someone there. So word of mouth, let everyone know what you're doing. It's important, I mentioned before, have your criteria handy in your phone, right? This is what I'm looking for in this area. Make sure you have all the information that is important, so you can get as much done in a short period of time as possible if you're out, you know, socializing or at the store or whatever. Outbound marketing. So you can go and you can buy lists online. You can say, I need a list of people who are almost close to paying off their home. I want a list of people who are delinquent on their taxes. I want a list of people. Anyway, you decide what kind of list you want. And you can say, I want their addresses because they're available and they're out there. And you send, everyone gets postcards in their mailbox, right? I want to buy your home. I want to buy your home. I get one at least, you know, once every 2 weeks, I get someone wanting to buy my home cash. So you can, you know, find these proper list of these properties in some way, and you can, you know, it costs money, but you get a little, you know, 3x5 card or a postcard, and you fill it out with your information. I buy homes cash in your area. I want to buy your home. You know, it may take 2 or 3, 4 times to do it, but you might find someone that's like, you know, I need to get out of my house. I need to get out of town quick. You know, I don't want to be here anymore. I have all these problems, right? You might look out and find someone that will want to sell their home to you just because you've asked, right? And you never know until you ask, and you know, sometimes you look out. So there are different ways, you know. So, you know, MLS, newspaper, word of mouth, Craigslist, you market, you look for them. You know, there deals are out there. They're not, some might, they might not just fall in your lap. You might have to do some work to find them, but they're out there and you got to look for them. Then they may be in the place where you least expect it. So, let's say you do this and you find it, you find a deal, you find a home, a property, right? So if you never purchased a home, or, you know, it's buying a rental is the same as buying your own home, except the criteria is not, this is the place where I want to raise my family and grow old. The criteria is, this is a place that's going to bring me profit, money, cash flow, at the end of the day. So, like I've said before, I'm going to go over how many steps? 9 steps for buying a rental property. Step one, you want to find your niche. You want to find what kind of properties you're going to invest in. This is going to be a quick list because I have, if you look at the other episodes that I have on this channel, I go into more depth on what these criteria are. So step one, you want to find your investment niche. What are you investing in? Single family, condos, right? Whatever. Write that down. That's what you're going to do. You also want to define your investment criteria. It has to cost this much. It has to be in this neighborhood. I want to get this kind of loan. I have to get this much cash flow. Right? You want to have all that written down in your business plan. How are you going to finance the deal? Right? Is it going to be all cash? Am I going to use someone else's money? Am I going to get a conventional loan? What am I going to do? You want to know all that upfront, and all this stuff is way before you even try and, you know, look for a home, right? Next, so you have, what am I going to invest in? What the property has to look like? How am I going to finance it? Right now, great. 4th step. Now you can look for homes, right? I just spoke about MLS, newspaper, marketing, word of mouth, right? You want to get all the money and plan done before you go out and start looking for what you're going to invest in. Okay. So you find your home, you find your home you want. Okay. You want to make sure you run that home through your list of criteria. Does it meet it? Right. This is like back of the envelope, rule of thumb kind of stuff, real quick. It meets all these criteria that I've written down. It's in the area that I want to be in. I'm going to, per my back of the envelope calculation, I'm going to make a profit on it. It's going to be great. Okay. You then want to make an offer on the property based on your calculations and how much you have to make at the end of the day. You want to make an offer on a home. Investment properties, these are not top dollar offers. These are offers based on the money you want to make at the end of the day. You know, sometimes during the process, it may feel like you're lowballing this person, but you're in it for a business, right? You want to make money. So you make your offer based on whatever criteria you want. Okay. Then comes the back and forth, right? You want to negotiate the deal, right? That's too low. I'll offer. So you go back and forth, and this is a business. This is not how warm and fuzzy the property makes you feel. If you cannot come to an agreement with the person that's selling it based on your criteria, that's it. It's done. This is business. Sorry, man. I can't do it for that much. Maybe next time. So they, then if you come to a an agreement on a price, great, they accept your offer. You want to do your due diligence as you would if you were buying a home, right? What standing is it in? Do they have any liens on it? You know what? You want to go through, just like when you're buying your own home, right? What's the title look like? All that stuff. You want to do all your due diligence, walkthroughs. Is it really going to cost as much as I thought to renovate it? Go inside of it, right? You want to look around. So you want to make sure you do your due diligence, right? So then you sign your paperwork, same as you would be buying your own home, right? Title and escrow and all that stuff. It's good. I mentioned in a previous episode to have your list of people ready. You want to be able to call them, drop of a hat. They're not available. You have another person, call them. This is all about speed and getting things done. And then you just, you know, file all your paperwork and then your deal's done. So that's in a nutshell. The process of buying a rental property, very similar to buying your own home. Probably the only difference is all this stuff you should have written down somewhere in a notebook, on a document, so that it's the same every time you do it. You know, you go over the same stuff every time you do it, so that it's like clockwork. It's like, you know, it's second nature, because this is like, this is the money you're talking about, not how you, not sitting by the fire in the home at the end of the day making memories. This is about making money. So you want to have all that written down at the end of the day so that you don't forget anything and you just do it per your list. Okay. So that's the whole, that's the buying process. So I have another stock tip here. You can have a diversified portfolio that only contains dividend stocks. You can make money two ways: growth and the dividend. Even if you don't make money on both, you'll make money on one. So a dividend is a so a company makes profit. Company makes profit and they've decided that some of that profit they're going to give to their investors. And so you make money however ever so often they decide to give, you know, every quarter they give their investors a little check per stock share of the dividend, which is a percentage of their profit. So not only will you make money if the stock continues to rise, you will make money quarterly, whatever interval they give their dividend in, on the dividend. So, I mean, if you get your portfolio, so companies like this, is, I'm going to take IBM, this is a dividend company, Northwestern Group, Edison International, Iron Mountain, right? So these companies, they give their investors some portion of their profits that they make. So if you get a diversified portfolio, you can actually, like, I'm only going to look for dividend stocks, and I'm going to look for dividend stocks in different sectors, right? You can make money on the stock, and you make money on the dividend. So lots of strategies to implement when you're trying to make and diversify your portfolio, make money. So look out for those. You make money two ways. One may hedge the bet on the other. Last is, most of the time I'm a real quiet guy, right? And people, you know, I'm the kind of guy that sits in the corner and just, you know, hangs out and observes and watches. People, you know, may think that, that I'm like, you know, just hanging out, you know, not really doing much, right? But what I do when I'm in a situation that I am new to or don't understand is I spend a lot of time sitting back and keeping quiet and observe what everyone else is doing. Instead of, you know, trying to pretend that I know what I'm doing or, you know, trying to draw attention to myself in other ways. You know, I sit back and I think about what's going on, what is everyone doing. And that's not only like professionally, but, you know, personally as well. So sitting back and learning about something before you spring into action, you know, may save you a lot of time, trying to fix things that you do wrong. If you were to do the opposite, spring into action and then learn, it may look like you don't know what you're doing, or you're wasting time, or you're procrastinating. Based, compared to the other people who would do the opposite, they spring in and then they learn. But sitting back and learning about something, taking the time to really figure out the ins and outs, trying to figure out, what scenarios can play out. It isn't procrastinating if you're doing something which is learning. There's a lot of lot to be said of planning and trying to figure out scenarios that are going to work and not work. Don't be afraid to look like you don't know what you're doing if you don't know what you're doing, is basically the whole nutshell sentence for what I'm trying to say. I really stand by that. If you don't know what you're doing, you should not you should not pretend you do. And if it's something that benefits you as a person, and it's something that you can use over a long period of time, then you definitely want to take your time and not care what other people how other people perceive you, if at the end of the day you're going to be the one that's going to be doing this thing and it's going to benefit you and your family. You definitely want to make sure you have the basics down, understand exactly what's going on before you spring into action and do something wrong and you dig yourself a hole and spend a bunch of money. So it's okay to look like you don't know what you're doing if you don't know what you're doing. So my name is Andres. This is the Strong Family Money Show. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe. I'm a real estate agent here in Ventura County. If you have real estate questions, want to talk about real estate things, give me a call. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you guys next time.